If Nick Mullins beat the Raiders again, okay, I would not do this show. I would not show up here. Okay, you wouldn't see my face. All right. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Kenneth. Kenneth would appreciate that. I'm running into. Shout out Kenneth.
He's a Nick Mullins guy now, right? He's Nick Mullins guy now. As you said that.
Yeah. Right. All right. Let's do it.
You are now listening to TBL on SilverAndBlackPride.com.
This play used to be run with Henry Ruggs, and we got Darren Waller on the choice route, Hunter Renfrow on the shallow. But I want you guys to watch Tyrann Mathieu here, okay?
God, you see the ball is out here. He's breaking on the ball. I think if he got a little closer.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. It is your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders everything, favorite Raiders breakdowns. We are back. We're live. We're streaming here, guys. Definitely appreciate all the listeners and everybody watching here. Subscribe. All right. And make sure you hit the like button. Hit the like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you dislike it. Hit the comment. Leave a comment if you like it. Leave a comment if you don't like it. Or you can have a car debate in the comments, which I'm sure some of you guys will. All right. So this week, I forgot. Thank you for putting it on the screen for me, BD. Make sure you guys get that TDL at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. TDL at manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping.
You know what they said? It's gentle, right? The Manscaped trimmer.
Yes.
Okay. So I put it on the test. I put it to the test. Now I don't shave, underneath the belt personally. Okay. And if you do, okay, that's cool. But, most people know I just had a kid. I just had a baby. Okay. Yeah. And I gave him a little taper, gave him a little lineup with the Manscaped clippers. Okay. You know what I'm saying? They have been nowhere near. What do they say in your b-hole, your ball sack and b-hole?
Yeah.
They haven't been close there. Okay. But I gave my son a little lineup, I'm saying? Cleaned him up a little bit. So obviously it's gentle. It works. Right. So yeah, Manscaped, it does work. All right. Let's jump into it, Marcus. Let's talk about this. This has been a weird week, right?
It's been a weird week. Yeah. It's been a weird week.
It's been a weird week. We had the game postponed.
Uh-huh.
Crazy, kind of like, wow, they ended up pulling that one out by the skin of their teeth, right? Game mm-hmm. going on. And then, just a bunch of vitriol, people getting upset on Twitter about Derek Carr still. Okay. Yeah. So I don't know how you want to capture this, how you want to talk about, what is going on here with the Raiders at this point. What's the state of the Raiders?
Well, for the team itself, they're 7-7, right? So they're 7-7. They basically are in the playoffs now, in my opinion. If they take these games like playoff games, who knows? Probably the one I worry the most about is probably the Chargers and the Colts more than this Broncos game that I'm worried about more. But, I think that, this team itself, I know a lot of fans are done and they're upset and this is costing us draft position and all this other stuff that they kind of think about. But the team itself, I really felt like this game, I really feel like they came out to play. Like they were like, our lives are on the end. Right. I really feel like this just a lot of the physicality they play with. I've never seen them play this physical in a long time. So, I'm going to show a lot of that. I'm going to go over Alex Leatherwood. I'm gonna go over a little Peyton Barber, and I'm gonna go over Marcus Mariota.
Hey, what I say, Peyton Barber? I said it, didn't I? In the preview.
Yeah.
Didn't mm-hmm. I say Peyton Barber was primed here?
You did say Peyton Barber.
I'm excited to see just efficient runs, because like the thing with Peyton Barber is like it's not gonna be sexy, okay? But this is how you play football.
I'm excited to see it. That's exactly what he is. And it's interesting what happened during the game is that, I feel like Josh Jacobs was watching him take his runs, and then Josh Jacobs got a little more patient as the game went on.
Mm-hmm.
Got a little more patient. There's still some runs where he messed it up. But I mean, that's his biggest issue. And when he was patient, I mean, they got good runs. And, you know, a lot of this game to me, I talked about it on the instant reaction when you weren't here, BD, but I feel like this game was all game feel. You know, like, I mean, you're up 10-0, right? And then you go into the second half and, you know, you haven't called a deep shot the whole first half. Right. And you're controlling the game. You got time of possession. You ran 34 plays in the first half. You're controlling the game. You go up 10-0. You get the ball back. Right. And then, you know, you have the 3rd and 7 with the drop to Deshaun Jackson. But then you get the ball back again after a quick 3-and-out. I mean, there's 7 minutes left in this game. You're up 10-0. You have full control. And they just kept calling deep shots. And I'm just thinking, like, can we run the ball? And, like, we're running the ball really well. We're doing all these things. I would like to make them stop the run first, right? Make them stop the run first. Let's run the clock, play the field position game, because if we get to the 40, and then let's say we stall. They're still punting. They get the ball to 10. They got to go 90 yards, right? And that's kind of the thought process I was thinking in that game. And then they kept calling deep shots. And then Derek Carr, he's trying to run out of a hole. And then he's trying to run through a gap instead of checking it down, trying to be a hero, and he fumbles. And then 10-7. And then they still call deep. They go up 13-7. And then the first play, they call a play action deep scissors. You know, up to Zay Jones. And, you know, he can't track the football in the air. So I just think they got way too aggressive. I don't know why they tried to beat that team by 30 instead of just getting out of there 16-0. So that was kind of my thing. Like, I think you, as a play caller, you have to have a feel of the game, too, a little bit. Like, what's happening? How's my defense playing? How's the game flow going? You know, that was what frustrated me about this game. Because the first half, I mean, that was probably the best I've seen the offense play all year in the first half, in my opinion. Without, like, some of the stupidest, like, there's some stall drives in there because they're not a great offense. But, like, from an execution standpoint, I thought they executed really well in the first half. And they had a great, good run game, good short passing game, kept everything balanced. They were 4-7 on third down in the first half. It was probably one of the best performances in a while, but then they just threw it all out the window. So I was like, I was frustrated.
Interesting.
But what did you think about the defense?
I thought the defense, I think for the most part, they played a pretty good game. You know, that being said, it's backup quarterback, so they should play a really good game. Mm-hmm. Although when it mattered the most, the defense didn't make a play and gave up, you know, put Raiders behind. Mm-hmm. So that's super concerning, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to look about that. There's enough leaks that this defense is kind of biting itself in the foot a lot. Like, they're doing good things. They're taking a step forward and then they're taking a step backward, and we're just kind of staying in the same place as a defense. So we'll go over it. I think I'll jump into mine first because mine does end on a low note, and technically the Raiders won, so offense should end on a high note, right? Mm-hmm. Hopefully. I'll just go ahead. If you're good with that, I'll just go in and jump right
go
in.
Ahead, man. Go ahead.
All right, bro. Let's do this. Okay. All right. So there were some positives to take away from the Raiders win. First of all, this is a new look, having Jonathan Abram, who is now lost for the season, but having him walked up as a mugged inside linebacker in a blitz look. That's a different thing than Bradley has shown all year. We see a little screen right here. Max Crosby realizes it. No, not Max Crosby. It's there we go. Solomon Thomas, I think, that chased that down. So they're playing good in the beginning of the game here. Okay. Here's another one. Bottom of the screen here. Look, we got Brandon Face on. He gets hit with this little double move. Okay. Oh, he's beat. He's dead. Beat dead to rights. Right. But does he give up on the play? That's how to play. This is what you do. Okay. He's obviously beat dead to rights. Okay. Does he start turning his head around and looking for the ball here? No. He puts his head down, tracks the wide receiver down, and just plays through the hands. Okay? Never give up in the NFL. That separates good players from great players. Okay? I believe that this is another face on. I want to say. No, it's not. What are we doing? Oh, yeah. This is the Keyshawn Nixon. They're playing cover four here, which is another kind of different thing that they have shown this year. So that's cool that they're playing too high. Abrams playing the poach. He's getting ready to take anything coming back over here. And we see Keyshawn Nixon be able to come down here, filling in for Nate Hobbs, make a tackle for a stop. Okay. So it's, you know, we got a few different players here. Here's another great one. We're going to send a blitz just like this. It's a run blitz. We do this to do the open side. This is called Tiger in Gus Bradley's playbook. And you see Max Crosby and Jonathan Abram are going to go ahead and blow this play up here. Did a great job. I mean, Max Crosby, if you just put together his highlight film against the two games he's played in his career against Cleveland Browns, you think this guy's an all-pro safety, okay? Last year and this year, blitzing off the edge, okay, tracking down this wide zone rushing attack. Look at him, okay? Just beautiful, beautiful play. That two best games of his career against Cleveland Browns. Okay, here we go. Jonathan Abram, again, he's down in the box. We're in base personnel. I believe that this is going to be a Max Crosby split the double team. He's going to get blocked by these two guys right here. And this is what a defensive lineman looks like, okay? Watch him. Split that double team, tackle that guy, okay? That's a grown man play. That's the difference between a pass rusher and a defensive lineman, okay?
Pay the man.
Pay the man. Okay, he is a legit defensive lineman. Okay, not a one-trick pony pass rusher. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get another face on. Watch him. Great effort. Track this down across the field. I love this. I love seeing face on. Go ahead, make a play on the complete opposite side, almost on the opposite numbers, okay? This is a long time to be tracking that down. Great effort and hustle by face on. Okay, two pass breakups so far. He's going to finish with a third one on the game here, okay? Raiders, they're in cover three buzz right here. Gonna go ahead get another, you know, little pass breakup by Brandon Faison at the bottom of the screen here. He's in man coverage, does a great job getting a reroute, stays on the inside shoulder. Okay, disrupts that play. Donovan Peoples Jones didn't have anything on him. So Brandon Faison, he came to play. He had a pretty darn good game. Okay, he doesn't make a mistake later on. And I'll show you. This is another great play by Jonathan Hankins here. Run stop. Jonathan Hankins feels the down block from the tackle and he fights outside of it. Fantastic work. And then he does, this is a patented move. When Jonathan Hankins, and he only does this because he can see the running back. When he sees that the running back is going to cut back, he does this a lot where he'll grab on to the jersey and throw him by. Okay. This is a great move. I love it. I love when Jonathan Hankins does this. This is like a patented move. He's been doing this for like 4 years. Okay, now there were some mistakes. So let's take a look at the very first scoring drive here. Okay. Very first scoring drive, correct me if I'm wrong, this was sudden change, right? It was right after a fumble, turnover from the offense, turnover. Okay?
Yeah.
Turnover, so they're here, right here, down here. Midfield, sudden change. Okay, what happens? They get a screen. Okay, this is relatively mundane play. I mean, it goes almost for a first down or maybe a first down. But watch Devon Diablo here. This is important. Okay, he's going to go down a little funny, get rolled up on. Markel Lee's going to jump on top of him. Now look who's in the game. Corey Littleton. Okay, and they proceeded to, I think it took him like two plays to score. I mean, obviously, this is not just Corey Littleton's fault. He does miss his tackle right there. But this is really on Yannick Ngakoue. Yannick Ngakoue is going to get logged here. This is called a log block, right? That's what you guys, offensive guys, call it. Okay. Yes, basically, Yannick Ngakoue needs to stay outside of this. Okay. But if you watch, he gets easily reached by this guy. You see, we got two defenders here, no defenders here. Okay. Would like to see Keyshawn Nixon get off this. Okay, make a tackle, obviously, but he is in his gap. Yannick Ngakoue is not in his gap, and that's where the biggest flaw of this play comes, okay? So Yannick Ngakoue giving it up right there around the edge. I think that this is a pretty funny one because, and I'm just showing this because they're picking on Corey Littleton immediately to go after him. Cover three, weak hook curl player. He's got to carry that crossing around vertical. I think his feet get out of bounds.
Yeah.
But he, yeah. So technically, good play by Corey Littleton. Okay. But very next play, they said, okay, we can't get Corey Littleton throwing the ball at him. Let's run the ball at him. Okay. So you see Corey Littleton, he already jumped inside. Okay. So he's already out of place. And you just kind of see him just get blown up into the, you know, I don't know. Bad play. Didn't look like a good play.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about the second scoring drive? Okay. Let's check this one out. Now, this one started off right here. We're in cover one. Okay. So we got man across the middle, and we have our boy Devon Diablo, who did have a pretty solid game, but this is a mistake on Devon Diablo's part right here. Okay. There is something called a no cover zone. Okay. When you're a dropper. Okay. And in the first 5 yards, you do not cover it. You get out of that 5 yards. Okay. And then you come cover and break on anything that's thrown in the no cover zone. Okay. So Devon Diablo, even though he's the low hole player, he needs to be back here. Okay. He's seeing the crossing routes. He's seeing the stuff coming in front of him. So he's hanging out over here, and the ball goes right over his head. Okay. Now this is cover one. Okay. This is cover one. Brandon Faison, he has outside leverage on this, okay? He is supposed to defend, you know, the outbreaking routes. He has no help in anywhere over here, all right? But he is expecting a low-hole defender to be here right across the middle, and because there is no one there, right, Devon Diablo gets sucked up. I mean, yeah, he's a rookie. He's a younger player. I would just prefer to see, personally, I would prefer to see the linebacker get back here, and if they throw it to one of these checkdowns, just rally and tackle. Don't try to jump those short stuff. I mean, the tight end was like 1 yard past the line of scrimmage. There's no reason to jump that. Okay, next play, we're gonna get an. I think that this is another one. Oh, this is just a run play that, you know, got gashed here. Run play. Then I think it's Casey Hayward gives up a catch here at the top of the screen. Okay. Oh, no, that's Faison again. Gives up attack. That's like 3rd and 3. Okay. And then, yeah. So I wanted to run something back. Okay. My bad. I forgot the run play. My bad, Raider Nation. Jonathan Abram, he's coming across the field here. Okay. He goes to reach out. And I think that this is the play where he dislocates his shoulder. Because now Roderick Teamer is in the game, and you know, I think we could have used Jonathan Abram, you know what I'm saying, down here late in the game. But then there's this play here. Again, that's okay. Yeah, that's the face on tackle. Okay, so now there's this play here, and we got a couple weird things happening. We got a bunch of defenders over here. I think that someone is messing up because there's way too many defenders over there and there's no one in the middle of the field. So I think that kind of contributes to Casey Hayward being right here and seeing the quarterback break the pocket and him go and leave his man to go cut this quarterback off, thinking one of these guys is going to come and, you know, cover up for him. And also him knowing also, like, if he just stays right here, like, this quarterback's literally just going to run right in. So Casey Hayward, he's in a tough spot right here. He leaves his guy all alone. I mean, what can you do? It's like, damn if you do, damn if you don't for Casey Hayward, okay? But it's not really on Casey Hayward in this play, okay? This play is all about Unique Ngakoue here. This is a terrible play. It's really unfortunate. He's had a good year. But, like, in this situation, the game is on the line, okay? I believe this is 4th down. Right? Like,
there's 4th-5.
He falls on the ground immediately, and then Crab walks back into Jonathan Hankins and knocks Jonathan Hankins down and just gives up the edge. That's about as bad of a football play that you're going to see in the NFL from Unique Ngakoue here, falling and then knocking down another one of his players, getting shoved around and just, I mean, getting manhandled out there. Look, if the team, okay, if he's tired, put Malcolm Kuntz in.
Or Cleveland Farrell had a good game. Did he play? I don't know. You saw the tape. Did he play? What? People were saying he played well. I know he had 16 pressure.
He was all right. He was all right. And
okay.
What I'm pretty sure, at least in one of those, because there was I did do a deep dive into Yannick Ngakoue after I saw that play because it looks very strange to me. At least one of those where he's like on the ground, he just came in the game. Like he was on the bench. Like Cleo Furl was in the game for like a full, like almost a full series. And then he comes in and then he gets like, and he slips immediately, you know? So if he's like, if he's, you know, tired, if he's hurt, whatever it is that is causing Yannick Ngakoue to be on the ground as much as he is right now, the last few weeks, maybe I might do a separate little YouTube clip. It'll be like 5 minutes of just Yannick Ngakoue all over the ground. I'm not sure what's going on with him. It's very strange. And it reared its ugly head at the worst possible moment. Like that's about that. Like that's the worst play of the Raiders' year so far on defense. Is that play?
Yeah, I think Joe Paterno was just kicking his butt, and I don't think he was expecting that. I don't think he expected Joe Paterno to come up to move from guard to left tackle and just kick his butt. Because I think that's right. I mean, Joe Paterno, he didn't give up pressure all game that I saw on PFF when I was looking. So
they did not get any pressure really.
I know what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And, because they like triple team max. So, I mean, Yannick Ngakoue is one-on-one, man.
Right. You got to win those one-on-ones, please. And the other thing is, too, they started blitzing a lot. They sent a lot more blitzes than they usually do. And even those blitzes, like tip of the cap to Callahan, they were picking it up. Like that offensive line is good, bro. That offensive line is good. If they were healthy, that's an L for the Raiders.
Like I don't know about that. I'm not 100% sure. I think that game might have been a little different because then you got Baker Mayfield and he's a wild card. If Baker Mayfield wants to make plays. I mean, Nick Mullins was, I'm going to stay in the offense. I'm going to hit the structure. I'm not going to lose the game. I'm going to stay in structure. Baker Mayfield, he would have stepped back and then he's like, oh, man, let me try to make some plays. He could have got more mistakes. That's what I kind of think about with Baker. And you would have got more sacks too, because you know they have a great offensive line, right? I mean, you know, I saw a stat that they're number one in pass. I don't know, pass block, whatever the stat is, right?
Yeah.
But Baker Mayfield has a 7.8 sack percentage, bro. So that tells you that. I mean, it would have been different, but it also would have been different because he would have took some sacks. There would have been some sacks.
Yeah.
Nick Mullins just getting rid of the football from coming from the Kyle Shanahan.
So you're telling me you're in the camp that believes that sacks are a quarterback stat then?
100%.
Right?
100% of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Okay.
Quarterbacks cause their sacks. And you know, that's a big thing. Yeah. That's what people argue with me about the mobile quarterback thing, right? Like you're not a mobile, the running quarterback. And you know, and how they can avoid pressure. And it's not true. I mean, Justin Fields, his line really is not bad, but he has a sack percentage of 11% because he's trying to make plays. I mean, you try to make plays, you're going to take some sacks and you're going to take some bad plays. You just have to, you know, hope that the good comes with it eventually. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, and it's not all bad.
Before you get benched. Yeah.
Yeah. Before you get benched. But you know, it just feels like a bench, bro. He's Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. Yeah. But like any quarterback that's like a playmaker, that's going to be like, I'm going to hold on to the ball. I'm going to try to make things happen and starts getting into like the off schedule plays and the second reaction plays. It is opening up a can of worms. Like, yeah, something great could happen, but something terrible could also happen right now. Right. And if the quarterbacks who play that style, right. Like unless you are consistently like getting to the playoffs, getting to like your conference championship game or something like that, you're going to get benched eventually. You know, if you're not even making the playoffs, like Jalen Hurts, like the writing's on the wall for Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I think Jalen Hurts is fun to watch and everything like that. But pretty much everyone is like, this is not how you win in December and, you know, win in the playoffs and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I was watching the game, you know, and Derek Carr had that fumble and he got hurt. I don't know. I mean, we aren't, nobody's talking about it, but, you know, he was bent backwards in his knee. I'm pretty much saying that he's hurt. He's injured right now. But it was funny to me because, you know, when he gets injured, he doesn't move. He doesn't, like, try to be a playmaker anymore. Like, just the whole running out of the pocket and then causing a fumble thing. Like, when he got hurt, he just all he does is stay on schedule. He doesn't run or move.
And yeah.
Like, they play better. They play better on offense, which is weird to me. Like that's kind of my thought. Like he's like, I feel like people are trying to tell him he needs to be a playmaker because he can run or whatever. And I just think that that's not his game. And that's why we see him make these stupid mistakes and throw these hero ball balls and throw up to Zay Jones and stuff. But, but yeah, anyways, but we're talking defense. I do want to ask you a question, though, because, you know, this Raiders defense, you know, the first 7 weeks when they were really good, right? When they were, like, really good, they're, like, 12th in EPA. And, you know, teams were moving the ball well. And they started off 5-2. They weren't very good against the run, right? But it feels like it's flipped at this point, right? They're a better run defense. And then when Nick Mullins and them started passing, that's when they kind of went right down the field on them. So what do you think is that issue? Is it the pass rush at this point? Did I get any pressure or what?
I think probably the biggest issue is if you looked at, like, late in that game when Nick Mullins started moving the ball, okay? Divine Diablo, Markel Lee was in the game. Okay. Teamer was in the game. Brandon Faison was in the game. None of these guys were starters.
That's true.
In the beginning of the year, or even on the active roster. Devon Diablo was on the PUP, right? Like none of these guys were even on the active roster to start the year. Okay. I guess Teamer was, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he hasn't really played much this year. He's, you know, it's less than like 50 snaps on, you know, total on defense, right? So they got a bunch of guys who like have not really been in the plans to being like major contributors playing in those parts of the games where Nick Mullins is moving down the field. So I definitely think that that is part of it, you know? And I also think obviously, you know, there's it's still tons of cover three. So it's not like it's the most confusing scheme to try to, you know, dissect. It just comes down to out executing. And when you're playing a simple scheme that it just comes down to the quarterback knowing where to throw the ball. If you have guys who are not like used to being back there and everything like that, you're just going to give up, you know, yards. Uh-huh. That's just my opinion on it, you know? But I've been vocal about how I think that the Bradley scheme isn't complex enough to like propel this team to where the defense like carries it to the playoffs or something like that. Like, no, it's not going to work like that. It's not 2005 anymore. 2010, when, you know, this scheme was like the best scheme in football. Right. Mm-hmm. I think those games days have come and gone, honestly. Yeah. So yeah, I'll just say that. And at this point, it's just kind of tired. It's the same old thing every time. And he's probably going to have to even scale it back a lot more now that Abram is out for the year.
Yeah. That is very true. It's going to be interesting as we go forward. We'll get to this offense right now in a second, but I just want to make this point. I still, you know, I mean, the Raiders are, you know, they're playing better run D, and, you know, they're playing the Colts in a couple of weeks. I don't know the Broncos. The Broncos got Drew Lock. They're not going to try to run, right? They're not going to try to pass that much.
They're going to run it.
I think the Colts are not going to run. I 100% believe that they are not going to run. They're going to pass like 435 times. They're going to come out trying to pass because that's how Frank Reich, he's going to watch the tape. He's like, okay, they're going to come and they're going to try to stop the run. And we're going to be able to take advantage of that by passing.
Yeah.
And you know, it might not work for them, but I think that's going to be their game plan. I think they're going to try to catch the Raiders off guard.
I don't know. I'd have a hard time seeing that it's working right now.
That's what he did against the Bucks. But
okay.
People were pissed. All the fans were pissed, but they put up 31 points.
Right.
But that's what he did against the Bucks because they got Vita Vea and stuff. So he was like, okay, let's come out passing.
I definitely think that when the Raiders defense puts their mind to it, they can definitely stop the run if they want to. You know, we talked about that in the past. All right. Raider Nation, hang back, sit tight. Don't go anywhere, please. Marcus is going to bring up his footage to break down the offense, and we're just going to get to a real quick ad from one of our sponsors.
Hey, fellas. This episode of Tape Don't Lie is brought to you by our favorite producers of grooming tools, Manscaped. The global leaders in below-the-waist grooming are leaving 2021 with a new product. Clean yourself into the new year with their ultra-premium body wash. Also, special offer alert, use the code TDL for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. 4 million men already trust Manscaped. Time to join them.
Reese the Cripple got me dying, man, because he's getting on me about my Orioles gear because my sons are playing well. Yeah. 25-5, baby. 25-5. But yeah, you know, I got it on my bad team. You know, my Orioles, they suck. So,
what's the story about you being a Baltimore Orioles fan?
My family's from Baltimore.
That's okay.
That's like my actual hometown team.
I see.
Yeah. And my dad's like, he's a flip flopper, so I can never follow him with football. So I chose my own team. He was Washington when I was a kid. Then Jim Harbaugh in the Captain Comeback thing, so he went back to the Colts, which is like not a Baltimore thing. And then he stuck with it because of course Peyton Manning came. And of course, then he didn't like Andrew Luck for some reason, which I don't know what that is about. I don't know. He was so mad that they let Peyton go that he started following the Cardinals again. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Hey. But anyways, all right, guys. Let's get into this offense. So today I'm gonna be talking about Alex Leatherwood. I thought he had a really good game. One of the best games that I've seen him play, and I really hope that it kind of gives him some confidence. Even I know that they're like, these are backups or whatever they were. They're not the full-time starters or whatever, but you know, I think it'll be a great confidence booster from him. So I really like that. We'll cover a little Peyton Barber too. Show a little bit of his game. So show a little bit of his game. And then, you know, I'm going to get into the Mariota packages and why they're using him wrong and why it's frustrating the hell out of
him. Okay. So, all right. You got a lot for us.
Yeah.
You got a lot for us today.
Yeah. And why he's not Lamar Jackson. So let's stop acting like he's Lamar Jackson and let's use him like Tennessee used him. There's tape out there. Go watch it. I don't know what to tell him. All right. But
let's real quick, because your family's from Baltimore. Okay. We got a question. All right. Is it? Are you familiar with this Baltimore slang?
Well, that's DC though. That's DC though. But my family has the terrible Baltimore accent, like you know you say.
So they don't say what you know. Let's go that giant over there. That giant.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the accents that they have because I don't have that accent. My that accent is bad. My cousin comes up here. He was in here last time. If he comes up here, he tell you, man. But.
My corner from in college was from Baltimore, and we always had to yell the number of wide receivers who were out. So every time there was two, he'd be like two. That's how they say it. Two. Like they got the weirdest accents over there in Baltimore. All right, go ahead, go for it. All right, sorry. No,
I know we're getting on these side rants today. All right, here we go. Here we go, y'all. All right, so let's start with Alex Leatherwood, man, which I said, like, he had a great game, playing pass protection. Run blocking, I mean, it's still a little hit or miss for me at guard with him, but I think with pass protection, we're starting to, I mean, hopefully that this is kind of the next step for him. So let's check out this one. I really like, you know, he really has pretty good technique, in my opinion. Inside, it's more about getting that push in the run game, and you kind of can see how he's able to, you know, you can tell he was well coached, he's well trained from from Alabama, and you know, even working with Duke Manyweather outside, besides Todd Cable, you can tell he's well trained here because you see how he just kind of pushes the guy around, right? Allows the quarterback to step up, right? And you know, hopefully somebody can count that as a pressure because it's not. He's pushing him right around, right? It's good job driving him right into the ground, gives Carr easy pocket to step up into, get yards. They get a first down after that. You know, right here, I really like that. You see how his hands are inside. It's totally opposite, you know, John Simpson over there, right? Hands inside, good base, right? He's good pad level, right? He's able to anchor, right? Able to anchor right there. Like, yeah, I love that. See, that is good pass protection right there. You want to see that. This is the type of stuff you want to see from him, right? Anchor, right? Gives plenty of time in the pocket to Carr right there, right? He's able to make a play. Watch your arms. I just like this because I mean this just kind of shows you like the growth right here. Did that anchor right? He basically stopped that guy in his tracks. All hands, all technique right there. Technique based. Build the house. That's what they say. That's what I learned in the Scouting Academy. He built the house right there. All right. So here's another one. Right. He gets a little help here from James, but he's just saying the good base, like everything. The technique is legit, right? And you wonder. you know, it makes you want to kind of go back and see why he's getting beat by some of these other guys, right? So here we go. Another one. Look at this. Hands inside. Good technique. Not overreaching. And then what I really liked about this today in this game is that how he picked up these stunts, right? So he picks up the stunt right here, gives Carr plenty of time, throw it up to DeSean Jackson, who's trying to get a flag. So let's watch it one more time here. Right there, see? Boom. Usually these guys get messed up bad, right? We've been watching it. I mean, especially last week. We saw it. There is Frank Clark coming right down the middle. Right here. There's Frank Clark coming right here. But you see, he passes off really well this week, right? Give Carr plenty of time to throw it deep. Right? DeSean Jackson wants flags instead of going to get the football. All right, here we go. Next one. This is another good one, too. Another good block. Right? Look at this. It's saying the pad level is never too high, right? Because 92, he likes to get low. And you see him kind of just keep it up, right? And then resets. Beautiful, right? And just gives plenty of time in the pocket. Plenty of time in the pocket. I'm saying it was a great day for him, man. I really love this really great tape that he put on here, right? Perfect. Resets again. Build the house, right? Anchor, build the house. Allows the quarterback to get out of the pocket, have plenty of time. All right, here's another one, right? And you notice Jalen Richard's out here helping these guys pick up stunts and stuff, right? So here we go. They're picking another stunt. Now this time with Myles Garrett in 92, right? Right? Well, actually, Myles Garrett's dropping, but it's with 97, and he's able to pick it up really quick. So I'll bring it back.
Grown man.
What's up with the Jalen Richard?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. That's it. All right. Right? And he's able to pass it off from James. And then, of course, you had Jalen Richard just knocking that dude out.
Why would Garrett drop? What kind of scheme is that?
I don't know. I don't know what this is. They're sending they're sending five, right?
Yeah, and it's 5-man rush. And yeah, Garrett drops though. Like, come on. That's your weapon X right there.
Overthinking it, bro. And then yeah,
overthinking for sure. For sure.
Little linebacker playing a hook it's cover three. All right. And of course, yeah, Jackson dropped it. All right, and then this is one I really like. This is what I call finding work. This is what I call finding work, guys. If you're a lineman, you already know what I mean. If you ever played line, you already know what finding work means. Boom, find some work, find that work, Alex. Right, and I tell you, this was his best game. Like this is the best I've ever seen him play so far. Right, even here, he already knows what he's doing. Right, he's got some guys. I mean, they're triple teaming Myles Garrett over there. Right, but he knows he's coming. He's got everything held. His car, a clean pocket. Boom. First down. On third down, too. That's a third down, right? Raiders came. You know what I mean? But yeah, was Jalen Richard in there, too, that last time? Oh, look, there's Jalen. And they're picking up stunts correctly. Interesting. All right, back to Alex Leatherwood, though. This is another one. This is another pancake. I believe this is it right here. Which is going to be... You know, Alex, look. See, this, the communication was better with the line. I don't know. This team was just totally different. It's not really good. But boom, he just don't spin. This is a Quentin Nelson type of stuff right here. Boom, don't spin. Knocked out, and of course another drop. But yeah, this is literally the best the offensive line looked all year, in my opinion. Another is more anchor. Look at that anchor again. Right, giving Carr plenty of time. So, I mean, this was a game of, you know, the offensive line really came to play. So I was really excited about that. I mean, hopefully they can do that next week because, you know, the team that they play next week is not the greatest pass rush, but they're a great defense, right? They're a really good defense. All right, so we got inside zone here. We're going into paper barber. So let me bring this back. We got Peyton Barber here, right? And, you know, Peyton Barber, he's just a straight-up runner. Okay. I mean, that's basically what he is here. He's I'm going to run to where I'm supposed to go. So he's got number four, one-on-one. He's going to try to make a miss. He's getting three here, right? Doesn't try to bounce it. Just get three, right? Second and seven. Just get three. You really like that that run from Peyton Barber. And here we go. We got inside zone slice right here, right? So inside zone slice. Watch, I love how he reads it. So you see the patience, right? He attacks the line. You see this linebacker right here, or the safety, or, you know, whatever. He's coming to fill this gap, right? And you see how Peyton Barber, he's attacking the line. He's pressing the line. Bounce. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's just more detailed running. So I'll bring it back a little bit. Detailed running. Press the line, right? Everybody gets out their gap. Gap opens, you hit it, right? That's called patience. That's called setting up your blocks. That's just great. This is just great running. Awesome. Awesome run. Okay. Inside zone, right? Inside zone here. It's another good run from Barber. Here we go. Boom. Right? And see the patience. It's all patience here with him. Can you see here? He's pressing it. He knows this guy's filling this gap. That means I go to this gap, right? This perfect understanding of inside zone. You know what I mean? So when you have that perfect understanding of inside zone and how to run and you're patient, everything works out. Everything works out for you. You get positive yards. It's like, oh my God, the Raiders are a good run defense, running team now. See, I'm just patience. That guy, I don't go to that gap. That means I go to this one. Boom. It's just me and 28, and he's going to feel me. He's going to make him tackle me, right? And that's how, I mean, that's how a running back is supposed to run, guys. I mean, that's how you want your running back to hit these holes and be patient too, right? So here we go. Inside zone slice again. This is another good run. This is 8 yards, right? So watch him. Set it up, right? Set it up one more time. You got 55. He's charging this gap. He's coming hard. Boom, bounce it. Boom, right there. See, setting it up. He already, like, it's kind of like instinct type of thing when you're running back. So think about it like this. I know where I'm going to go, right? So I know I'm coming here based on I see it early. I know I'm coming here. So I'm going to set up 55, who's right here. I'm going to set him up, right? He's coming at me. He thinks I got him, right? I'm going to get up for tackle or loss. Nope. Boom. I get 8. It's just, he had a great day, man. He needs to get the ball more, obviously, in my opinion. Because I don't think he got the ball enough. I feel like after that, they really didn't run the ball with him. And you know, he's a pretty good pass catcher too. You know, I mean, it's not the best routes in the world, you know, but you know, if you get him the football and you know, he's going to make people feel it, right? He's going to make people tackle him. He might not wiggle it past you. He might not, you know, make a elusive move and juke you, but you are going to feel him, right? He's going to feel you. I still don't know why he jumped there, but. All right, so let's pause there, right? And let's get into some Marcus Mariota.
Hey, right. Hold on, Marcus. Let's pause there real quick. They're saying that the video is choppy.
Okay.
Yeah, I just try to just share it again. That's all.
Okay. All right, let me do that one too.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for letting us know. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Is it still choppy? So I know.
Here, play it. Yeah, it's choppy still. Oh, wait. I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good.
All right, cool. All right, my bad. Sorry. That was choppy, guys. All right. Inside zone read. All right. Inside zone read here. So on the inside zone read, you know, usually how the quarterback does this, I mean, he's going to be reading Denzel Ward here, right? Because Denzel Ward is the furthest outside guy. And then, you know, he decides to hand off based on what Denzel Ward does, okay? Now, with the inside zone read, why I don't like Mariota doing this is because when he's just not that good at it, okay? And when you want to get him the ball, you want to get him outside with the blocker in front of him, which I'll show later. But we'll watch this one when he reads this one right here, right? So we'll stop it right here, right? And Denzel Ward, I mean, he's coming inside, okay? So Denzel Ward is coming inside just a little bit, right? And they only need what? How many yards is this? What, 2 yards? They only need 2 yards. And I just feel like he should have kept this, right? Because if he keeps it, it's just him and Denzel Ward one-on-one, right? And he can turn the corner on Denzel Ward. Because he's fast. And then, you know, Mariota, he's a psycho. He's going to dive. If he's not, he's going to dive over him with, like, one hand, right? So I really feel he could have kept this. But then, you know, it's not a big gain. It was holding anyways. But I really felt like he should have kept that ball, right? And then you get the counter bash here, right? So this is one, like, you rarely see him. He didn't do this in college either, right? They didn't do this in college. There's no counter bash at Oregon, right? So here's another one, counter bash. And, you know, the counter bash is, you know, it's You got the pulling guard right here. He's going to come up through, basically through the B gap, right? He's going to come up through the B gap, right? And, you know, he's reading the defensive end again, right? He's reading Myles Garrett right here. So this tells him to keep it because where Myles Garrett's at, right? Because if he gets it, Jacobs, it's over, right? And, you know, like I said, he needs like a lead blocker outside. This is not his game, all right? So when he gets here, he's just a straight line runner, right? So, I mean, this hole's open. Right, he's not Lamar Jackson, so he's not like Marcus Mariota is not a running back, basically. That's basically what I'm trying to say. So when you do these type of plays, you have to get him outside like he's a running quarterback. He's not a counter bash guy.
That's right.
So choppy.
No, you're good. So basically, you're just saying like don't run him through in between the tackles.
Yeah, or do it like. To this type of stuff, and the thing is though, this inside zone reads were working on third and short. So I'm not telling them to just stop doing them because they were working. So you see here, this is a first down, right? They got a first down on a third and short and third and two, you know, and you know kind of like these formations. So I'm gonna go back to that one a little bit. I like how they set this up because Derek Carr's in the field too. So you got 22 kind of personnel with two quarterbacks on the field. So Derek Carr is the wide receiver on the outside, and I kind of like how this is set up. And, you know, they got some good blocks here. Well, not really, but, you know, kind of beats it. But Josh Jacobs was able to bounce it, kind of get a first down. But let's talk. I do want to show how they used him in Tennessee, right? So it's something I really want to show here is how they used him in Tennessee. So here's a pin pull, right? This is what I'm talking about. This is what they do with Josh Allen in Buffalo. This is what they do with Josh Allen in Buffalo. And I think you don't see Josh Allen doing counter bashes. You get Josh Allen outside because – he is not Lamar Jackson, right? So you get him outside, boom, and then he uses his speed. He's able to read it, and he gets right into the end zone. Touchdown. And you see it one more time. Pin, pull, sweep. Again, right? Got the pin, the pull. Here comes Marcus Mariota. He's able to read it. But then you can see why he gets hurt all the time right here. Instead of just going out of bounds, he tries to dive, and he gets crushed. It's like, come on, man. Go out of bounds. All right, and then, of course, one that he does really, really well is the arc read. The arc read, which he had the big play with Darren Waller last year, is one that is a staple for him. He scores like crazy on it. So you see the arc read here, right? And just saying, you get him on the outside, he's able to read blocks, he's fast, boom, touchdown, right? And then you see it one more time, arc read with a running back, boom. He gets there, he almost scores. I think he did score there. Scores, touchdown, right? So he... You know, they're just not using him correctly, right? And you can't pigeonhole. Sometimes I feel like quarterbacks and sometimes these quarterback coaches, they see these guys with legs and they still try to, you know, pigeonhole them into some type of, you know, I don't know, some type of quarterback they think that is a running quarterback or whatever. I mean, you just can't run counter bashes with everybody, man. That's a talent. You know, that's kind of as because at that point when you're running a counter bash, you become a running back. You know, you have to read off and plays, and you know, at that point, you know, you're reading things. You become a running back, and that's not who he is. He's a running quarterback, which you know, there's guys like that. I mean, that's what Josh Allen is. I mean, Josh Allen's not a little dude like counter bash with Josh Allen. You know, you can do counter bash with Jalen Hurts. You know, who a guy who could read things and you know, who can make plays, you know, and you know, and all that stuff and get into running back mode. You know what I mean? So other stuff.
The difference you just showed us, Peyton Barber, he's a back, right? He's pressing the line of scrimmage, keeping his shoulders square, knowing he's going that way, but getting the linebackers to jump over here before he goes there, right? Like these are the running back skills. Obviously, Marcus Mariota, he has quarterback skills. He doesn't have running back skills yet, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily every guy who's fast and athletic can go and run. Like, to run inside zone as a quarterback, like, come on, what are we doing here? You know, like, is this guy, did he come from, you know, Auburn with Gus Malzahn and Cam Newton running the counter bash? Like, no, he came from Chip Kelly. He just ran zone reads. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all he did, you know? So yeah, I agree. That's a great point. He's getting pigeonholed. This is not his skill set.
Yeah, and if you're going to do it, do the outside runs, you know? Do the outside runs, get him going that way. And I think if you can get, you know, like Leatherwood or, you know, some of those guys in front of him, I think he can read that really well. And you guys, he can score some touchdowns, you know? So I think he can be effective that way. But it was working. And I really feel like they should keep doing it. I feel like especially the third and shorts and the fourth and shorts. I mean, that's what the Colts did with Jacoby Brissett last year. I mean, fourth and short, third and short, Jacoby Brissett was in that game, right? And Jacoby Brissett was doing something, and Phillip Rivers was on the sideline, right? And they got in the red zone too. I mean, here comes Jacoby Brissett, fourth down, third down, right? Jacoby Brissett, he comes in there. I mean that's kind of how, you know, Brissett was used. He was a specialist. And Phillip Rivers would come out on third and short, and here comes Brissett, and they would do all types of stuff with it. You know, he'd go under center, he would go do shotgun, whatever. And that was the package that Frank Reich had, because that was my Jacoby Brissett package, because I'm paying him $15 million, I might as well use him. So that type of thing. But
Mariota's getting paid $10 million, right? Isn't that what he's getting paid?
I think it's like three now or something. But you know what I mean? Like, the third down and fourth down looks for that, I think, is smart. I think they should keep doing that, especially on fourth down. I think we get to the fourth and shorts instead of kicking field goals, you know, put him out there, you know, and try to mix it up and try to get some first downs and use him. I mean, you just got to use him correctly. When I saw the counter, I'm like, why are you doing counter bash with Marcus Mariota? Like, has anybody ever did that with him? Has he run that before? Like, they don't do that in Oregon. That's literally what you do with like a quarterback that is like, you know, like a Lamar Jackson or like a Jalen Hurts type of dude. I mean, who can like see that he, okay, I'm going to set up a block, I'm going to go this way. Because Lamar Jackson probably would have scored on that play.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely. For sure. For sure. The funny thing is I'm all for it, even if he can't run counterbash, even if that's not his strength. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm all for it, because now if you're a defense, you're going to have to card up counter bash and zone read and arc read. And that's not even the starting quarterback. And you're having all these plays that you have to practice against for that quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a team that goes up against the Ravens, right, like the Browns, you're going to be able to handle counter bash just fine with Marcus Mariota not running it at the same level as Lamar Jackson can. But you might go up against some teams that haven't played, you know, Baltimore last couple seasons or something like that. And, you know, maybe you can, you know, pull one over on them with Marcus Mariota doing that. But, again, I'm all for it just because it makes the opposing defense have to practice and, you know, draw all that up and, you know, have to prepare for the Mariota package.
Yeah, and at this point, you know, that's why I think they got to get more creative. Because, I mean, the Browns were prepared for it, and so were the Chiefs. I think they did against the Chiefs. They did a couple. Chiefs were prepared for it too. You know, the teams are ready for that package up at this point. So that's why they got to get more creative. I mean, like, maybe it is time to throw the ball in that type of package, right? Do a quick little throw, play action type of thing. You know, and mix
has
it up.
Has he thrown it on any of these?
No, he hasn't. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You got to add some new stuff to this, because
that should be wide open now, right? Like, that should be
100%. It will be wide open.
Right.
Wide open. They could probably do some like stupid stuff like Derek Carr or something. But it's like, but I was on the radio.
Yeah.
And I was talking about, because he asked me that question on the radio, like, how can they be more creative? And I was thinking, like, all they got to do is go to some high, they could go watch some high school tape and they can get creative. They can get creative. They could do like, they could even do these the type of things like where like Derek Carr snaps it, here comes Marcus Mariota, he tosses it to him, and then Marcus Mariota throws it.
Yeah.
You know, that teams are getting ready for that stuff. It's week 15. It's week 16, right? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, say Carr snaps the ball. Here comes Mariota. He flips it to him, and you think he's going to run, and then Mariota stops, and he throws a touchdown.
Nah, come on. You throw it to Mariota, you know, you're expecting double pass for sure.
Are you? But then if you back up, he runs, you know? That's kind of the thing.
He should have an option, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, or something – just mix it up, bro. Like, there's so much quarterback freaky stuff that people do that you could, you know, think of and, you know, find some tape on, in my opinion. I mean, you could find it in college.
They can be more creative. You know who does that? Andy Reid.
I know.
Like the viral, you know, high school trick play or whatever. Like 3 weeks later, you'll see Andy Reid pull that, you know, same playoff.
I know.
In the pros, you know, so
that's the mark of someone who is actually creative. So we'll see if, but I don't think that you could call the Raiders coaches this year on either side of the ball creative.
No, you cannot. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, bro. Like, I just feel like you could, there's something you could do that can get teams like out of it, right? Like, or like even if you're talking about like, oh, maybe they're expecting to throw, maybe do like a throwback or something, or I don't know, man. Mix it up. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At this point, what they got to lose? Nothing, right? Exactly. That's it. That's it right there, right?
Exactly. What do they got to lose at this point? You know, what do they got to lose? Nothing. You know? So
I'm with you.
I do want to talk about Alex Leatherwood. I thought this game was really did really well. I mean, I really loved that. I really loved that tape. I really was excited about it.
That was fun to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, it got me really excited because then I feel like if they get a better O-line coach, that maybe there is something there. Right.
Are we writing Alex Leatherwood off? Is he a bust?
I'm not.
What if he's just a solid guard for the rest of his career? Is it worth a first round pick?
I want to see him with a better offensive line coach.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta wait.
Reserve judgment.
That's what kind of my thing. I know John Simpson might not make it to that point where he gets a chance to be a starter again, but that's what I want. I want to see him with a different offensive line coach.
You know who I said that about? Mm-hmm. Cleveland Furrell. Okay, I was like, I want to see a different coordinator. Okay, I want to see a different scheme. Okay,
but John Simpson does good against average people. He just gets his butt kicked by like the top notch players. So that's why I think with a good offensive line coach, they could fix him where he can be better against good defensive tackles instead of just dominating, embarrassing these average guys that, you know, that won't play in 5 years, you know? So that's his next step. But that's why I was like, if they get a new, you know, offensive, but you're right. But if, you know, but Leatherwood is for sure, it's a for sure thing. But I still think if they have a chance, they're going to take some interior offensive linemen in the draft because there's some really good ones. So
okay, I
think if they have a chance to do it, I think, you know, John Simpson didn't play himself into a starting role. And I think Alex Leatherwood was the first round pick, so he has a better chance to keep it. But, you know, I think they might try to do something like that, you know, bring in somebody. I don't know. Because who knows how they feel about James? Because you know, I think James is, you know, serviceable at this point, but I don't know if you know, I don't know how, where they're gonna pick, but if they end up picking like 18 or 19, and Lindbaum's on the board, I mean, I'm not, you know, keeping James for Lindbaum, you know what I'm saying? And you know, even the dude from Texas A&M, I don't know if I'd keep him for Simpson. So it's gonna be tough for the offensive line, but I think a new offensive line coach could spark some of these guys and even get Colton Miller better. Cause I think Colton Miller, I think he's hit a wall where he is just good. And I think he has all pro potential. And I think a better offensive line coach can bring him into the all pro potential, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, like, I think it is pretty obvious what we got in Tom Cable, you know? And we haven't seen enough development from guys like Brandon Parker. You know, like, you could say, oh, but yeah, Brandon Parker, he was okay or whatever, right? Like, he wasn't, like, the worst tackle in the NFL. You know, like, that shouldn't be, like, the barometer, right? That shouldn't be, like, the litmus test. You know, Brandon Parker, fantastic athlete. He was a third-round pick. You would have hoped that this, you know, that Tom Cable could have turned this guy into, like, someone who was like, okay, we forgot that Brandon Parker was out there, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of being just, like, frightened every time that he has to start. So, you know, I think a lot of these guys we haven't seen. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you were showing John Simpson, you know, reaching around, bear hugging, you know, and getting his hands outside of his chest, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hold on, man. Like, we're too late in the year to be having bad technique, you know, at this point, you know. So, yeah, I think it is obvious. Tom Cable, we've seen everything we need to see from him. Definitely need to go.
Yeah. All right, man. Get some of these questions in the chat here. I see a couple of questions about Brandon Parker. We got, why is Parker playing ahead of Illuminor? And then should they try and get rid of Parker first? Now, the right tackle position, in my opinion, is easier to replace than it is guards. it's harder to find good guards than it is to find a good tackle, like a solid tackle. That's not Brandon Parker. Like I think you can find one in a free agency. That's a solid tackle that you can get for cheap, and then maybe you can draft one behind him. Because in my opinion, if you draft a tackle in the third or fourth round, it's like kind of drafting a quarterback at that point. At those, you know, you're not drafting a premier tackle. You know, if you want a premier tackle, you got to get one in the first, right? I mean, that's kind of like tackles. Premier tackles don't get out the first round. It's not like a guard. You know, you could maybe get later, but you know, if you find one, you don't want to. If it's a first round one, you want to take it, right? But I just think that you can get rid of Parker, and you can replace him with some solid guy. You can find somebody. I mean, I'm sure you can. I mean, there's Dennis Kelly over at Green Bay that come and fill in really well. If you have a good O-line coach, you'll be fine. I kind of feel it that way. But Illuminor, I don't know. So I don't know what that's about, man. I've been trying to figure it out for a while. I don't know what that's about. I have no idea. I don't know. Somebody doesn't like him. I don't know if he spoke out. I know he's liked a couple of my tweets I've said about him and then unliked it. So maybe he's – I know he feels some type of way about Tom Cable. So he feels some type of way. But, I it was weird because I thought he was playing really well, which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
There's something in the background with that.
Weird. That's weird. That's weird. Yeah.
He's playing really well. I mean, you could look at it. You could watch the tape. He's not giving up pressure inside at all. Like, well, what do you want from a swing guard tackle? You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. I got a question in the chat that I want to get to. Someone is asking about Abram. If we're gonna see Tyree Gillespie now that more Tyree Gillespie now that Abram's out. What's up with Tyree Gillespie?
Tyree Gillespie, I think he's on IR, isn't he? Is he?
I mean, I have not seen anything of him.
Actually, I think he came out. Let me check this.
All right. While the producer is checking it out, what I'll say is, right now, so far they've been playing with Teemer. As far as like when Abram can't go, Teemer is coming in. Obviously, Dallin Leavitt, unfortunately, it looks like between those two guys, if I'd be willing to guess, like right now, it's going to be a combination of Teemer and Dallin Leavitt playing in spot in Jonathan Abram's spot now that he's hurt, right? But at the same time, I'm not really convinced either of those guys is really going to be good. Plus, Tyree Gillespie, if he is healthy, if he can play like the last 3 weeks of the year or whatever, I would definitely prefer to see him out there.
Yeah, he's off IR. He's back up there. So we're good. All right. One more question.
So he's off IR.
Yeah, yeah. He could play if they wanted. Okay. All right, I got a good question. He paid $4.99, so I'm gonna answer his question. do James do enough to help the struggling inside O line? See, it's always so tough for me with this offensive line because I don't know what's Cable and what's not. And that's why my whole evaluation of them at this point, because they do inside zone incorrectly. So if they're doing that incorrectly, I mean, how can I really evaluate you as a player if you're being coached incorrectly? Or I don't know what's happening with that. But I think James, I don't know if he's really helping Leatherwood. I think what's happening with James is that since Leatherwood has moved inside, people have just stopped attacking him. I think that's what's happened. Where they're attacking Leatherwood instead because Leatherwood is the weakness, right? And they're attacking Simpson. And I think this game, he got attacked a little bit more than he's used to, and he didn't play as well. So I still think he does have those technique issues. And I just think he's a backup center at this point. I think he's a backup. And you can keep him as a backup all you want. That's fine. If so, your guy went down, I'd be perfectly fine with Andre James coming in for a couple of games. It's just for 16, for 17. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure on that anymore. But yeah. All right. Any other questions? Anything you see?
Nothing. Yeah, David Kellenberger saying that if Tyree Gillespie is not activated by next Wednesday, he can't come off IR or something like that, I guess.
All right, thank you for that. Appreciate you guys helping us with information when we need it. Right. Anything else, BB? We good?
That's it for me. You want to take it away? Get us out of here, bro.
Yeah. Like I said, guys, make sure you guys, subscribe. check us out on iTunes if you want to listen to it there. I really appreciate you guys coming in. We got 129 people live here. All the comments, we really appreciate you, all you guys. We really appreciate No Carter Base this week. We appreciate that, guys. Awesome. Way to go. way to go, guys. So make sure that you guys do this. Keep going. Keep going with the content. Keep helping us out. Make sure you go get a TDL shirt. I might do some contests in the next couple episodes. I actually got some trivia.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Trivia. So we might do some contests, I like that. Guys. Give out some t-shirts. I feel like it's a little more interactive now. I feel like we're more interactive now, BD. You know what I mean?
So yeah, we got this t-shirts. This streaming platform, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? So we'll get into that. We'll get into all that, guys. But make sure you guys subscribe and keep enjoying it. Ready to keep giving you this content. No matter what happens, no matter the new coach, no matter the new thing, no matter the new client, we're going to start grinding the new schemes. We're going to start grinding the new whatever. So, you guys know where to go to learn everything, right?
Yeah, stay tuned. Definitely. We're going to be keeping you guys up to date on everything. Yeah, that's it, Raider Nation. We love you guys.
Peace.
Later, y'all.